against the university's racism in the form of the university refusing to allow black and Latino cafeteria workers to form a union. It's clear racism. And also the university's involvement in the war, which had just begun in April, and well, in with main force troops, the university was training naval officers. The organizing, meaning the education and the our self-education and our educating the campus and a number of tactics like confrontations and petitions and meetings and teach-ins, all these things had been going on for a long time. That's what I mean about organizing, that we had goals and we had a strategy and tactics to achieve those goals. In the case of SDS, the goals were to politicize the university and to build the anti-war and anti-racist movements. So that was going on well before I got there in 65. And in a sense, we helped lay the groundwork for 68.
Mark, we're going to break.
Organizer and leader Ella Jo Baker has often talked about doing the spade work. Well, we did that spade work. That's a story I think is worth telling because it's got to be done now. That organizing, strategic organizing, is the issue.
Mark Rudd was the head of SDS in 1968. On this day, 50 years ago, April 23rd, 1968, the Columbia Revolt, when African-American students led white students of SDS. Juan Gonzalez, one of maybe two Latino students, Nancy Bieberman, all in Hamilton Hall, what they called Malcolm X University. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but we'll continue this conversation, of course. And Juan, you'll be speaking on Friday night. Ray, you're speaking tonight at Hamilton Hall. Raymond Brown, former leader of Student Afro-American Society, one of the leaders of the black students who occupied Columbia University's Hamilton Hall. Nancy Bieberman also speaking, an organizer today, was at Barnard College with SDS. Mark Rudd, chairman of the Columbia chapter of SDS. And Paul Cronin, A Time to Stir, Columbia 68. He's edited the book, worked on this issue for 50 years. For 10 years. The event took place 50 years ago. I'm Amy Goodman, like Juan Gonzalez.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, and serving family-style breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lunch was provided by Putna's Pit Barbecue, located at 1625 Northeast Killingsworth Street in Portland, and serving Texas-style barbecue daily. And dinner was provided by Mississippi Pizza, located at 3552 North Mississippi Street, and serving pizza, cocktails, and also live music performances for over a decade. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The daily prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day/evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed with the aforementioned information to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, if postmarked by May 3rd, 2018. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on May 14th, 2018. Winner may be notified by telephone after May 21st, 2018. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/silentdrive2018. And thank you.
The time is 5:04 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, we're in the middle of our spring membership drive.
A local cop block activist has been arrested.
And we take a look at the protesters in Armenia.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, April 23rd, 2018. I'm Natalie Mahdi.
And I'm Ken Jones. An internal memo from the Portland Police Department has been photographed and released, displaying the names, pictures, and a vehicle description for three different cop watch activists in the Portland area. The memo describes the actions of the activists and states the memo is not meant for public or media release or as a stimulus to act. The release of the memo comes after one of the activists was arrested and sentenced to 6 months in a federal prison with a six-month home detention after his sentence is served. Christopher Pont was arrested during a target practice session with some friends in a national park after a picture of him holding a gun surfaced on Facebook. Pont was accused and convicted of felony possession of a stolen vehicle in Clackamas County last year, which prohibits him from using or owning firearms.
Chiquisha Clemens, a 25-year-old black woman, was arrested on Sunday at a Waffle House in Saraland, Alabama. She had ordered food to go and was told that she would be charged for her utensils. When she told the server that she wasn't charged the day before, her order was promptly canceled. Clemens requested the number for their corporate office in order to file a complaint. While she waited, two officers entered the building. After grabbing her by the neck and arms, they wrestled her to the ground, exposing her breasts. When she asked them what they were doing, one of the officers stated, quote, "I'll break your arm. That's what I'm about to do." Waffle House spokesperson Greg Rollins said, quote, "After reviewing our security video of the incident and eyewitness accounts, police intervention was appropriate," end quote. Clemens' mother has posted her daughter's bail of $1,000. The local chapter of NAACP released a statement that said, quote, "In light of the current situation in our country, such as the arrest of two young black men at a Philadelphia Starbucks coffee shop, we felt it was important for our members to get a firsthand account of the incident, which has now gone viral on social media locally and across the country," end quote. This is not the first time the 24-hour eatery has been accused of racist behavior. In 2005, they had four separate suits against them, in which black patrons were denied service or served inedible food.
KBOO's in our spring membership drive, and now it's time for you to support community media here at KBOO. To tell us more, we go now to Ani and Ray.
And good afternoon. This is Ani. I am, in fact, here with Ray, and we are here asking for your support to continue KBOO's glorious media presence in your community. We are grassroots radio. You have made us happen for 50 years, and you can continue that by calling 877-500-5266 right now. You can help us raise the $500 needed for this program this afternoon. And we have these little goals to sort of keep us on target over the course of the day. And that's what we're looking for to raise for the evening news today. So please call in with your support at 877-500-5266 or online. You can go to kboo.fm. And calling right now means that you'll be entered for a drawing. And today's drawing is for two 90-minute sensory deprivation sessions at Float On. You can call 877-500-5266 to be entered for your chance to win. And you can go to kboo.fm for all the rules and prizes information.
And as Ani mentioned, our target, our goal for this hour is $500. And an easy way to do that is with an ongoing membership, where we charge your credit card or your bank account on a monthly basis. And we're suggesting that $25 a month would get you the very fashionable, in fact, the lovely KBOO sweatshirt.
It's good.
So please give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and click on donate and show your appreciation for the fact that every evening KBOO Evening News is brought to you by a staff of volunteers who donate their time, a significant amount of energy, a lot of effort to put together a news program which is focused on the community, which is focused on Portland. Tonight, Grace Ann, Ken, and Natalie are bringing you a newscast that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And so it's a good time to show your support, show your appreciation, and call 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm and clicking on the donate button.
And I want to thank Susan in Southeast Portland for renewing her membership. Susan was a volunteer in the 70s and was involved strongly in the public affairs programming at that time. Thank you, Susan, for continuing your support and for listening still to KBOO, the radio station that you helped to build with your time, with your skills, with your energy. And we're asking others right now, please join Susan in your commitment to community radio. Join Susan in renewing your membership to KBOO. Call us at 877-500-5266. Call us right now. Again, that number, 877-500-5266.
On today's episode of Black History 365, we take a look at Charlotte E. Ray, who became the first African-American female lawyer on this day in history in 1872.
Black history is happening every day. It's time to start thinking of it outside of a day or a week or a month. We hope to inspire you by enlightening you with those people and events that should be learned from and forever remembered.
Today is April 23rd, and on this day, in 1872, Charlotte E. Ray became the first female African-American lawyer. Miss Ray graduated from Howard University School of Law. Her admission was used as a precedent by women in other states who sought admission to the bar. Thank you, Miss Charlotte E. Ray.
Achievements and events are not confined to the past. Make sure to etch your own path in the pantheon of human history. This has been Black History Month 365. Bam! 365, where you find every day Black history is made.
Climate Connections is a daily podcast focused on how climate change affects our daily lives. On today's episode, we hear from Jerry Taylor, formerly a vocal opponent of climate change and now an advocate for protecting the environment and our species.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Jerry Taylor once worked for a libertarian think tank, where he was paid to dispute the seriousness of climate change. Now he argues for climate action. Why? It all started after a nationally televised climate change debate.
I argued on screen that the climate is simply not as sensitive to greenhouse gas emissions from industrial sources as we thought.
He claimed that the climate had not warmed nearly as much as scientist James Hansen predicted it would during a Senate hearing in the 1980s. The expert Taylor debated, however, later challenged him to go back and read Hansen's actual testimony.
He says that's not at all what that underlying testimony suggests. He said, or don't bother to look at it, just be a hack. By God, I was going to go and reread Hansen's testimony and prove him wrong, right?
It did not work out that way. Taylor found Hansen had provided several scenarios of global warming, not just the extreme one Taylor was disputing. Further, Hansen's most likely scenario matched observed global warming. So Taylor kept researching and found that the talking points he was given were often misleading or wrong. He realized there is strong evidence of global warming.
I think people can be persuaded by good arguments.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
And now it's time for today's Labor History in Two from our host, Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1937. That was the day 1,800 auto workers sat down at the Ford Motor Plant in Richmond, California. It was the largest Ford plant on the West Coast. The UAW organizing drive at Ford had just begun a few weeks earlier with a sit-down strike in Kansas City. Company manager Clarence Bullwinkle reported he had returned from lunch only to find the plant occupied and all the power shut off. Workers began their occupation after 12 workers with seniority rights had been transferred from the assembly plant to the loading department and then discharged. Strikers voted to allow company officials and office workers to leave the plant but not return. Bullwinkle was told to get out and stay out until you meet our demands. He refused to budge and hold up in his office. Demands included recognition of the union, seniority rights, and regular pay instead of discharge for workers who are out sick or injured on duty. As the night shift arrived and then left, they passed their lunch buckets in solidarity to the striking workers. Within 12 hours, the strike was reportedly called off after Ford officials agreed to meet with strikers. Seeing this as tantamount to winning union recognition, workers paraded through the streets in the early hours of Saturday morning. But they hit the picket lines later that day when Ford officials failed to appear. By Monday, they were right back on the job. Fearing another day's loss of production, Ford officials met with union leaders. While workers did not win formal recognition, they did win seniority rights and recognition of the Shop Stewards Committee in a first step toward union recognition, which would come 4 years later. Labor History in Two brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in Two.
It's spring membership drive time at KBOO, and time for you to support community media here at the station. To tell us more, we go now to our friends Ani and Ray.
Thanks, Ken. I'm here with my friend, good friend, Ani. And we're going to ask you to call 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and click on that donate button. And we're going to ask you to step up and do this now.
Search Star Zion.
This is a good opportunity to show your support of KBOO Evening News and to show your support for KBOO's 50th anniversary. For 50 years, this has been a community radio station focused on you, the Portlanders, the Washington, the state of Oregon, bringing you the news, the public affairs programming, and the music that you're looking for. And with volunteers like Ken and Natalie and Grace Ann and so many others donating their time, this is what you get. You get high-quality, locally focused news from people who care. So please give a call at 877-500-5266. Again, that number, 877-500-5266, or go online and go to kboo.fm and click on that donate button now. We need your help.
Absolutely. And it's a great thing to do. You know that taking this one step actually is something that empowers you. It empowers your community. It empowers the station. And we all work together to make the world a better place. Our news is curated by volunteers straight out of our communities who are looking for news from neglected perspectives, controversial opinions. That is what our program charter actually mandates us to do. So we dig deep and we find the stories behind the stories. We look at things from angles, well, of the grassroots variety. We look at things about how these stories impact our communities, and we create that analysis to share with you. And right now, we're asking for you to share your support of KBOO and to make sure that you are a part of making this amazing history. We are the oldest independently supported community radio station in the country. We are independently operated. We have been listener supported for these 50 years, and you are a huge part of that. So please continue your support right now by going to 877-500-5266 on your telephone and, you know, connecting with one of our phone answering volunteers. Let them know who you are. Let them know how much you would like to support us with, and then just go ahead and seal it, because then you are a participating member of community radio not a passive observer any longer, and it feels different. It feels great. So jump on in. You found us. Congratulations. You are listening with your ears. Now, please go ahead and join us with your pocketbook as well, because, you know, free media is not exactly free. It takes a lot of money to actually keep the equipment in good form and to keep the electricity flowing from the transmitter tower. And it takes each and every one of us right now doing what we can to keep this great station on the air and serving so many communities. Step forward and make this your moment. 877-500-5266 is the number to call right now. Support the news program here on KBOO. You can also do it online at kboo.fm.
And Ani, our goal this hour is $500. It's easily reachable if we can get just a couple folks
Absolutely.
More to call in. And we're suggesting that an ongoing membership is the right way to do it. For just $25 a month, you can get yourself this magnificent KBOO hoodie. I have one myself. It's an all-weather hoodie. It's a wonderful thing. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. And we would also urge you, if you're in the neighborhood, to stop in, see where your contributions go, see where your dollars buy, and maybe consider contributing to the news or
Absolutely.
Volunteering in any number of other ways. The station is a community station. It's staffed overwhelmingly by volunteers and a few dedicated staffers. And so become part of your community radio station and help us continue for another 50 years in Portland. So please take this opportunity, step up, and make that call to 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm and click on the donate button.
That's right. We are looking for a couple people to step forward and be heroes for KBOO right now this afternoon. Can you be a KBOO hero? Can you do a dollar a day? That comes out to say, well, you know, on average, let's just say $30 a month because it makes it easy math. And, you know, that works out to be $360 over the course of a year. That's actually a really large chunk of change. But when you think about it, breaking it down to a dollar a day, $30 a month, that's something that many people can work into their budgets. So please consider giving at that sustaining level. Get the KBOO hoodie and know that you are a hero here at KBOO. You are really putting your support behind news and public affairs programming, and that is an important and wonderful thing. So give us a call right now. Step forward, become a hero for KBOO, a dollar a day supporter, $30 a month. Can you do that? Please, if you can, call now, 877-500-5266. Or online at kboo.fm. You know that we are stronger together and that you need independent news and opinions, commentary and analysis so that you can sift through all of those views and perspectives and make informed decisions. And that way you can do what you can to make the world a better place. The first act to make is calling us and becoming a member of KBOO this afternoon, 877-500-5266.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth interview with Sarah Wolk from Equal Vote. At 6, it's Labor Radio. That's followed at 6:30 by Prison Pipeline. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight's weather. In Portland and the Hood River, there will be a low of around 52 degrees, followed by partly cloudy weather and a high of around 82 degrees. Today in history, Annie Easley was born in 1933. Easley was an African-American rocket scientist that worked for NASA. She was known as a human computer doing long calculations by hand. After the invention of computers, she became a very capable programmer and instrumental in space travel. The quote of the day is from Annie Easley when asked about discrimination in the workplace. "My head is not in the sand, but my thing is, if I can't work with you, I will work around you. I was not about to be so discouraged that I'd walk away. That may be a solution for some people, but it's not mine." Thank you.
And now it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal leaders in South Dakota want to assume control of an Indian Health Service hospital in Rapid City. The Oglala Sioux Tribe, Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, and the Rosebud Sioux Tribe have passed resolutions to take over management of the Sioux San Hospital, the Rapid City Journal reports. The hospital has faced challenges with Medicaid and Medicare accreditation. Last summer, IHS announced the termination of emergency room services. Tribal leaders call the move a historic self-governance effort. The U.S. Forest Service last year approved a plan for a copper mine in Arizona. Three tribes are fighting back in court, as Catherine Davis Young reports.
For more than a decade, Native American tribes in Arizona have voiced their opposition to a proposed copper mine in the southern part of the state. Now, three tribes are joining together to bring the fight to court. The Tohono O'odham Nation and the Pascua Yaqui and Hopi tribes have filed a lawsuit in federal court over the fate of about 3,600 acres of public land in the Santa Rita Mountains. A Canadian company has plans to establish a copper mine there, but the tribes say the area is sacred. Peter Yucapicio with the Pascua Yaqui tribe describes the land as not only important to his heritage, but as an iconic piece of the southwestern landscape.
It's very precious and very important to preserve, you know, those mountains, those hills, and it's amazing how people don't understand that once it's gone, it's gone.
The U.S. Forest Service already heard public comments and gave its final approval for the mining plan. In its decision, the Forest Service noted it was aware of the ecological concerns and tribal significance, but said federal law allows for the type of project that has been proposed. The tribes hope a federal judge might see things differently. The mine site is expected to contain nearly 6 billion pounds of copper. But while a mining business might create economic opportunities, Yucapicio says the price of what could be lost is too high. The Forest Service will have until mid-June to respond to the tribe's complaint before the lawsuit moves forward. I'm Catherine Davis Young.
Senators on the Indian Affairs Committee discuss a bill which failed to pass the Senate last week to give tribal governments the ability to oversee their own labor laws. Matt Laszlo reports from Washington.
The bill was defeated after the Senate deadlocked over a provision that would have revised the National Labor Relations Act to allow tribal governments to set their own labor laws. The vote was split mainly along party lines. North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp was one of six Democratic senators to vote for the measure, but she says she can understand the pushback from her party.
Well, sure. I mean, you want people to be able to have, you know, collective bargaining rights. But at the end of the day, for me, this was much more about, when weighing the balance, it was much more about sovereignty.
Heitkamp says she decided to break ranks with her party because of her experience and understanding of tribal issues.
This is a tough vote because there's a lot of concern, obviously, within organized units. But I think that's a situation that they'll have to work out with the sovereign, which in that case is the tribes.
The ranking Democrat on the Indian Affairs Committee, Tom Udall of New Mexico, released a statement shortly after the failed vote, blaming Senate leadership for holding back bipartisan amendments that he claims might have gotten the bill over the finish line. Senator John Tester of Montana, another Democrat who voted for the bill, agrees.
Yeah. No amendments may have held some people up. There's a lot of things that we could put on that bill that would have made sense, and we never had much of an opportunity to do that.
The Senate attempted to make minor revisions to the bill, but that measure also failed, leaving the bill with an uncertain future. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Olivia Arevalo, an indigenous leader and healer of the native Shipobo Conibo people of the Peruvian Amazon, was found murdered in front of her home on April 19th. Arevalo comes from an area known as being a center for ayahuasca use and other healing plant traditions. She was seen as a living encyclopedia of her people's local knowledge, lore, and plant use. Her murder is still officially a mystery, although this comes after several indigenous leaders were executed while fighting for the rights of the land in the Amazon rainforest, known as the Lungs of the World. In retaliation for her murder, locals have beaten and hung a Canadian citizen from Vancouver who they claim is responsible for Arevalo's death. It is not clear if the man, Sebastian Woodruff, was responsible for the death of the beloved Arevalo, but what is clear is that he has paid the price for her murder. The investigation is still open.
It's our spring membership drive time at KBOO, and time for you to step up and support community media here at the station. To tell us more, we go now to Ani and Ray.
It's showtime.
We got 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I was like, oh my
gosh. Well, welcome back to the spring membership drive. Ani and I were just discussing the state of the world, but now we're going to get back and talk to you folks about why it's important to become a continuing supportive member of your local community radio station, KBOO. So please give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and click on that donate button. But we want to start out, first of all, by thanking Justine in North Portland, who just called and renewed a membership that had lapsed. And Justine, we can't thank you enough for showing your support for your local community radio station. You've made our afternoon here. It's just wonderful.
It is a wonderful thing. So please do join Justine in renewing your membership to KBOO. Maybe, you know, you had a membership to KBOO a while back, and you know that there are so many amazing groups that are doing good work, you know, in our communities. And maybe you're somebody who has spread your support around a little to this group this year, a little to this group the other year. We're asking you to come back to KBOO now. Please, once again, rejoin KBOO. Show your solidarity with your community radio station, which gives a platform for so many other amazing causes and organizers and activists in the area to come share in the airwaves and amplify your message. We are here for everyone that supports the values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, environmentalism, multiculturalism, freedom of expression, and social change. That's what we do here at KBOO. Those are the inherent values that we actively strive to serve. And those are the values that your dollars support. When you join KBOO with your membership today, please give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
And Ani, our goal this hour is $500, and we're well on our way to that at this point, so we would urge you to take a moment and give a call. And let me repeat that number real quick, 877-500-5266. And the easiest way to become a member is to become a supporting member and do it on a monthly basis. Charge to your credit card or a simple charge to your bank account. $25 a month would put you in line for the lovely KBOO hoodie, and it would also enter you into a drawing for a spectacular prize today. Become a member now and be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for 2 90-minute sensory deprivation sessions at Float On. And so this is your chance. Take this opportunity. Pick up the phone. There's another one now. Pick up the phone and call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate.
Serge Sargsyan, the Prime Minister of Armenia, has resigned after 10 years of leading the country. Thousands poured into the streets to protest Sargsyan's political manipulations to continue clinging to power in the former Soviet Republic. The development launched a large and jubilant celebration in Armenia's capital of Yerevan. Car horns were blaring and people dancing, embracing, and waving the tricolor Armenian flag. The opposition called for a meeting with the acting prime minister to discuss a peaceful transition to power. Sargsyan, 63, was president of the Caucasus Mountain Nation from 2008 until March, when term limits forced him out. But parliament, which is controlled by his party, voted to reduce presidential powers and hand them to the prime minister, essentially making Sargsyan the leader with more sway last week. Sargsyan's maneuvers echo a move that Russian President Vladimir Putin, Armenia's closest ally, completed a decade ago. Other former Soviet republics such as Belarus and Central Asia have also extended their terms in similar fashion. The parliament's action has triggered large anti-government protests in Yerevan since April 13th, in which demonstrators blocked government buildings. A recent rally attracted over 50,000 people, with 200 soldiers joining the protests. Nicole Pashinyan, a protest leader, told the AP that the opposition will push for an early parliamentary election to prevent Sargsyan from running Armenia behind the scenes.
Gerard Colombe, the French Interior Minister, condemned an action by the French anti-immigration group Generation Identitaire that blocked the Italy-France border in the Alps region with the intention of forcing the French government to fortify the border and stop migrants from crossing into France. Colombe said, "I condemn the gestures by Generation Identitaire. Only government authorities have the right to take action in our territory." Generation Identitaire responded in a statement Sunday that the fact Colombe cited their action during a speech counts as a win for their group. They went on to say that all that was needed was, quote, 100 determined young people to stop migrants from crossing. The government has clearly recognized the situation and was obligated to act.
The last living person to be registered as having been born in the 19th century died over the weekend. Nabi Tajima was born on August 4th, 1900. She lived in Kyushu, the most southern of Japan's four main islands. She was survived by 160 descendants. She said that the secret to her long life was delicious food and good sleep. She held the brief honor of being the oldest person on the planet after the death of the Jamaican woman Violet Brown, who died last September.
It's a beautiful spring day in Portland today, and we're in the middle of a beautiful spring membership drive at KBOO. To tell us more, we go now to Ani and Ray.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Natalie. And thanks for all the effort for the KBOO news team to put together a special localized newscast every day of the week focused on the needs of the community. And this is your opportunity to show your support for this dedicated organization and give a call now to 877-500-5266. And let me repeat that number, 877-500-5266.
So Natalie, you're all set for the Sarah Woke interview?
And go to kboo.fm and click on donate. Either one of those ways gives you an opportunity to help support your local community radio station. Our goal this hour is $500, and we're well on our way to that goal. Maybe just one or two more callers, and we could be there. You can help us get there. We're suggesting that this is a good opportunity for you to become a maintaining or a continuing member. We're suggesting that the right number is $25 a month, and the easiest way to do that is to just give the helpful phone person at our end your credit card number and let them know what size KBOO hoodie you'd like. It's a marvelous fashion statement that you'll be proud to wear summer, spring, winter, and fall here in Portland. All you've got to do is call. And if you do call today and become a member, you'll be entered to win a prize in today's drawing, which is 2 90-minute sensory deprivation sessions in Float On. And as Ani and I have agreed with the news that we're getting these days, you couldn't ask for a better prize. So please take this opportunity, pick up the phone, and show your support for your local community radio station and your local news team and call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on that donate button. And please do it now.
Absolutely. Just what my friend Ray said. It is your time to shine. Please be a KBOO hero. We would love to hear from one more person who is able to give a dollar a day for KBOO. That would put us over the top of the goal for this program. It would help to make up a little ground, which, you know, because we need to make up a little ground. That's what I'm saying. And you can help to do that. Be that KBOO hero. Give us a dollar a day. Know that that dollar a day supports your entire community as we put it to good use. Here, making sure that we have good equipment, that we have the tower transmitting our signal, that we have the building that is in good working order. Please, it does take a fair amount of money to keep an organization going. And right now is your time to step up and say, yeah, you want to help pay for this. You understand this is your community radio station, and we mean that very literally. Please make it your own right now when you call 877-500-5266 to support this independent voice in the media that is in your face, that is really here as resistance radio, making sure that we are interviewing people who are doing good things in the community to amplify their messages while we at the same time call out those that need to be called out for shenanigans and all of the behaviors that we want to get rid of, right? So this is how we do it. We share information at the grassroots level, and we ask for your support so that we can continue doing the good work of being your community radio station. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also go online at kboo.fm for all the rules and details. And to contribute right there, just hit the donate button.
You betcha. And as my friend Ani mentioned earlier, this is the station that does give you the neglected perspective. And I love that little saying there, that little statement. We do have a voice for the voiceless here, but we can't get that voice out to you without your help. Just an example of some of the costs that the station has. To run the transmitter and the tower rental is $60,000 a year. Yes. And, you know, phones and internet, $20,000 a year. We need your help to keep a vital signal out to the community. We need your help to continue to provide the community focus and the community center that KBOO has been doing for 50 years. So please take this opportunity. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Or go to kboo.fm and click on donate, and maybe consider that $25 a month sustaining membership. You can just provide your credit card to the friendly person who will pick up the phone, and as I said earlier, just give them the size, and we'll make you a fashion plate, a fashion statement with a KBOO hoodie. It's beautiful and it's functional. And when you do it, you'll also be entered into today's drawing, which is for 2 90-minute sensory deprivation sessions at Float On. So please take this opportunity, show your support for your local community radio station, and help us go another 50 years. Go to call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on that donate button, and please do it now.
Absolutely, because we must support independent voices when it comes to news and information gathering. You know, you don't want the same pablum that you can get on other stations that you are listening to KBOO, because you want really resistance radio. You want information that you can use that is relevant to our lives, that comes from a grassroots perspective, that is the content is created by volunteers from our communities. And we're asking you to step forward and become a hero to support this program. $1 a day for KBOO, $30 a month, $360 over the course of a year. Do that right now, and let us thank you with this wonderful hoodie. It's warm, it's soft, and best of all, it's got the KBOO logo blazing front and back. So please step forward right now. Be a hero for KBOO. 877-500-5266.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Grace Ann Smith, Natalie Motti, and Ken Jones. The producer is Grace Ann Smith. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelocelos Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Natalie Motti.
And I'm Ken Jones. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show covers politics, history, and the state of the zeitgeist with a liberal dose of listener commentary. At 9, in alternative radio, author and activist Miko Peled gives an Israeli dissident's view on the occupation of Palestine. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, guest host Jenna Yokoyama features Milagro Theater's production of Watsonville, Someplace Not Here, a play about the women of a 1980s cannery strike in California. At 11:30, it's Art Focus, featuring interviews with artists, curators, and critics. You can make history and support KBOO if you'd like to become a member. during the spring membership drive, give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Good night, Natalie. Good night, Danielle.
Good night, Ken. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
So, folks, we got a problem. Our republic, our representative democracy, is neither representative nor a democracy. Democracy, literally demos, the people, kratia, have the power, has embedded in it the notion that political power is shared equally amongst the voters. One person, one vote. But because of how we vote, we're actually unequal, and that inequality leads to the crazy political reality we deal with every day. Now, I'm not talking about money in politics, not talking about gerrymandering, not talking about the Electoral College or the partisan primary system. I'm talking about something much deeper, the fundamental, the root inequality in the actual mechanism of how we vote. A voting method is an algorithm that takes all the preferences of the voters and it churns out a result. And the voting method we use is the single worst voting method that humans have ever invented. Here's why. In every election, we're limited to one choice, no matter how many candidates are running. Now, if there are just two, it's no problem. It works every time. The majority preference is acknowledged. But every time there's more than two, the more similar candidates split votes, which means if you like more than one candidate, you have less power than people who like just one, which is why we have spoiled elections. It's why people say, don't waste your vote on that long shot candidate you really like, and instead vote for the lesser evil who's raised the most money on your side, which is why we end up with partisan, gridlocked governments dominated by cash.
Equal Vote is a local coalition that's begun collecting signatures for twin ballot measures to pass star voting in Multnomah and Lane counties. Their proposal could have an immediate impact on bringing more representation of the people into the current voting system. Equal Vote's idea is centered around the idea that a voter should not have to play favorites. We have here in the studio Sarah Wolk from Equal Vote. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So can you explain a little bit about the clip we just heard?
Yeah, so that was Mark Frohnmeyer down in Eugene, and he's the founder of the Equal Vote Coalition. So as he said, our mission is really about bringing equality to voting. The core idea is that my vote should be equal to yours. It should be equally powerful no matter what party I affiliate with or not, how many candidates I like or not, or any other reason, really. So we're actually running twin ballot initiatives in Multnomah County and in Lane County to pass star voting, which is a system that I think solves a lot of the problems that are underpinning all the other problems.
And can you tell us a little bit about star voting and what it is?
Sure, yeah. Star voting is essentially a different kind of ballot. It would allow voters, instead of just voting for one or the other, to give each candidate a five-star rating or a score from 0 through 5.
So it's kind of like a Yelp review or an Amazon rating.
Yeah. So anyone who's ever done any kind of rating, scoring, or gotten a grade in school has done this before. It's pretty common sense. The difference is that unlike now, you could actually vote your conscience and every vote would make a difference, even if your favorite can't win. Your vote always helps prevent your worst case scenario and has an impact.
And I was just thinking about like how I had to usually take those kinds of tests as growing up in school or like a work survey. And I don't know about you, but like the burden of choice, there's all the options. It sometimes makes me feel like I don't know which one to choose. Should I go in the middle of the road or should I like rate 5 stars? So do you think people might have trouble if there's too many options in their ballot on a star rating?
Yeah.
Or on the sliding scale?
I'm not worried about that, actually. I think for people who just like one candidate, just like now maybe, they could give their favorite 5 stars and call it quits with that. Anyone that you leave blank, gets a zero. But for those of us who do have a more nuanced opinion, or if there's a couple of good candidates running against a really bad candidate, right now there's a strong incentive to not vote for your favorite, maybe to vote for your lesser evil, or on national elections, the kind of refrain like don't vote lesser evil, or a vote for Jill is a vote for Trump, or those kinds of things have permeated our voting and democracy culture and really driven tons of people away. So what we're finding as I'm going out on the streets and talking to hundreds and thousands of people is that the reason that people don't vote isn't that voting is difficult or they don't understand the ballot or how to do a rating or even other proposals. The problem is that they feel like their vote doesn't count, like the system is rigged against them, and like their vote is wasted. So we want to address that. We want to give people a real incentive to show up and vote and make a difference.
And so what does STAR, so STAR is an acronym, right? So what does STAR stand for?
Yeah. So STAR voting stands for score, then automatic runoff. And that's exactly how the system works. You only have to vote once. It'd be one election in November with all the candidates. But you give each candidate a score, and then there's an automatic runoff between the two highest scoring. So the finalist that was preferred by more voters wins. And your ballot already shows which finalist you had scored higher, which finalist you preferred, and so they get your full vote.
So everything gets scored in the end on the STAR rating, so like one candidate could get like 4.3 stars or 3 stars.
I was wondering, Sarah, so you were saying then there wouldn't be a primary. There would just be the general election, which of course would save us a lot of trouble and a lot of time, and certainly the candidates a lot of expense. But how would that work? Would you have numerous candidates then in that one election that the score rating would apply to?
Yeah, that's exactly how it would work. So right now, we've got for Multnomah County, we've got a nonpartisan primary with all the different candidates from all the different parties on one ballot together. And then the top two advance to the general election in November. So critics hate this system because the top two that advance can actually not be the two that had the most support. It's happened in California where there's a bunch of kind of left type candidates and a couple of conservative candidates. And so the left majority will find themselves split between a bunch of similar candidates, and two Republicans can actually advance to the general election in a place like San Francisco, for example, where that's obviously not a representative outcome. So the current top two system really excludes tons of voters, tons of parties, and tons of voices from the conversation.
I could see one problem it would fix. I know among the Republican voters now, they usually vote far right in a primary. So the more, I hate to say the word conservative, but the more moderate candidate generally ends up losing. And then in the general vote, generally a moderate candidate does better. So this system would help resolve those issues. You mentioned the Democratic situation where a far left candidate might not advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, primaries in general have low turnout. They have older, more conservative voters. And so if we want to have really accurate representative results, we need to have the most important decisions done during the election where everyone's actually there, so in November.
And so how would STAR voting change Oregon's constitution?
So it doesn't actually change the Constitution at all. We're really lucky here in Oregon. We've got a fantastic constitution around voting system reform and alternative voting systems. And nationally, we wouldn't need to change the Constitution either in order to pass this. Our ballot initiative is a county charter amendment. But STAR voting conveniently passes our constitution in terms of a perfectly equally weighted vote, which is the legal definition or underpinning for one person, one vote. So the idea that my vote should be equally powerful to yours, no matter where we are, who we like, all of that if star voting was passed, it actually could become the gold standard for one person, one vote going forward and raise the bar.
And what can Equal Vote tell our listeners about voter suppression laws under the current administration?
So you already mentioned primaries. In terms of suppressing voters, currently in Oregon, about a third of voters don't affiliate with either of the major parties, and so they're completely excluded from the primaries. Nationally, that's almost half of voters that are excluded from the primary. So, you know, excluding half of the people is a travesty. It's catastrophically horrible for democracy, and I think it explains why we're in the position we're in large part. But, of course, there are a lot of reasons and a lot of ways that voters are disenfranchised and excluded. I think here in Oregon, we don't have as much of a problem with things like gerrymandering or other stuff. But essentially, star voting kind of gets at the root of that problem by making it so that voters who feel disenfranchised can actually become empowered.
Would there be any limitations in terms of a registered Democratic? If I can vote for, I can rate a Republican candidate just as easily as I can a Democratic candidate in the election.
Yeah.
So I was thinking basically of the November 2016 election where Donald Trump was elected. I had many friends who wouldn't vote for Hillary or did it very reluctantly because they much preferred Bernie Sanders. But if you had Bernie Sanders, Hillary, Jill Stein, say Donald Trump, and maybe some of the Republican candidates, I don't know, maybe Kasich would be on there, some of the others, Marco Rubio, you would be able to rate each of those, and then the person with the best rating would win?
Absolutely, yeah. And we actually have an online app. We did a poll like that on star.vote online, so you can actually go there and try out that scenario. How would star voting have changed our last presidential election?
Did you simulate that then?
We did.
Oh, how did it turn out?
Well, in our case study, Bernie won by a landslide.
All right.
Not surprised.
I should be more objective, I think. But
yeah. So exactly like you said, a voter in a progressive place could say, you know, I give Bernie 5 stars, but I also like Hillary, so I give her 4 stars. Or you could say, Hillary's maybe my worst case, she's better than my worst case scenario, so you could give her 1 star and still show that you prefer her to Trump. So if it did come down to her and Trump, she would get your full vote. And that has, yeah, so the runoff has really fundamental implications for people, especially let's take a progressive voter in a deep red state, because there's a runoff. You could give, you know, your Bernie, your Hillary, your left candidates good scores, and then give Kasich a 1, or give Rubio a 1, or give Trump a 0. And what that would allow you to do is vote against your worst case scenario in a red state, where currently those people's vote doesn't make a difference at all if your favorite can't win.
So this actually, I think, makes the two-party system less prominent. I count him as a friend, but it's very difficult to talk with him, but I think he voted for Trump in the last election. But he actually told me that he would have voted for Bernie if Bernie was the Democratic candidate. So this is a way where he would have been able to rate both. And he might have rated Bernie higher, which would have helped him win the election.
Absolutely, yeah. And this absolutely undermines the two-party system, undermines the polarizing us-against-them paradigm, and fundamentally changes that so that we could actually vote across a full spectrum of issues and not just this polarized version of reality.
Well, it looks like we are about out of time today, but thank you so much, Sarah Wolk, for coming in and telling us about star voting. Is there a website that listeners can go to find out more information?
Yeah, our website is starvoting.us, and there's lots of great content up on there. There's videos that, like the clip that you heard before, is the first video on our website, and then there's ones that go in depth about problems with our current system, other alternative systems, compare and contrast, the origin story of star voting and where this all came from. We're a grassroots initiative, and we need 32,000 signatures to get this on the ballot for this November. If we do succeed, this is a historic and revolutionary chance for Oregon to lead the nation with a proposal that actually solves the problem.
Mm. Well, thank you so much. So we've been talking with Sarah Wolk of Equal Vote and their new proposal for Star Voting. This is Natalie Mahdi for KBU News In Depth.
KBU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Lady Sings the Blues, a tribute to Billie Holiday on Saturday, April 28th at 8 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland. The 12th annual Billie Holiday Tribute Night brings together musicians of many genres to pay tribute to one of the greatest jazz singers and songwriters of our time. The event features Megan Spear, Sarah Jackson Holman, Led to See, Mary Flower, Naomi LaViolette, Oracle, Brownish Black, and many more. Again, that's Lady Sings the Blues, a tribute to Billie Holiday on Saturday, April 28th at 8 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Understand me now.
Billy Rose was a low rider. Billy Rose was a night fighter. Billy Rose knew trouble like the sound of his own name. Busted on a drunken charge, driving someone else's car. The local midnight sheriff's claim to fame. In an Arizona jail, there is some who tell the tale. A Billy fought the sergeant for some milk that he demanded.
Hi, my name is Emma, and I am a co-host of Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. From time to time, we are really lucky. We get to talk with people who are on the inside, who are dealing with the system right now as it is, and can offer powerful testimonial to things that need to be corrected within the